Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Turns in tonight, a clown went up by candlelight, all the children tucked in tight. Bethlehem turns in tonight. The angels start their whispering about the one they're welcoming. No one knows what's soon to be. The angels start their whispering. They sing glory in the high. Yet once again, the shepherds leave for Bethlehem. A baby's cry soon welcomes them. Silence falls yet once again. They sing glory in the high.
Waiting, come now, our King. What do you look forward to most about the Christmas season? What are you looking forward to as we get ready for Christmas? Is it perhaps the decorations, like the snowflake lights that are up in downtown Mount Airy, or like the decorations that we've got put up in our sanctuary? Or maybe it's the music, a lot of which we only get to hear at this time of year, or perhaps it's shopping to find that perfect gift for someone that you love. Is it the prospect of getting to spend time with people that are important to you? What is it that you look forward to most about the arrival of Christmas? In the end, of course, I'm pretty sure there are lots of things that we anticipate about the Christmas season, and whatever those things are for you, I hope that you're getting a chance to enjoy them, because without doubt, the season is upon us, and just so we can get a little sense of how you all are doing with your preparations, just sort of like we did with the kids, I'd like us to take a little survey this morning. And so, by a show of hands, how many of you have got your tree up and decorated? Anybody? Okay, it looks like a pretty good chunk of us. Maybe not everybody, but quite a few. How many of you have started your Christmas shopping? Everybody? It looks like a lot of us are in that boat as well. Now, here's kind of the clincher. How many of you have finished your Christmas shopping? I can't believe they would even dare to raise their hands. That is completely, completely wrong. No big surprise, my family and I really like Christmas, and so we generally start to get ready fairly early, not Walmart after the 4th of July early, but, you know, Thanksgiving weekend early, which means that as soon as we got home from our travels last weekend, we got our tree put up and started our annual tradition of watching Christmas movies just about every night, all of which goes to say that in the Martin household, at least, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And that's a significant part of the holiday season, isn't it? Not that your pastor and his family would be getting ready for Christmas, but that you and your family, your home, is ready for Christmas. Perhaps more than any other holiday, Christmas is a celebration of home. You can hear that in our music. I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. And I think you can see it even in our movies. If you stop and ponder it, a lot of those Christmas films, like It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, and A Christmas Story with Little Ralphie and his Red Ryder BB gun, and even Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase and his dysfunctional holiday aspirations, all of those pay homage to and celebrate our longing for home. And so I'd like us to think about home this morning. In fact, during the rest of this month, I'd like us to take a little trip home for the holidays. And I'd like us to begin that journey with a song, Over the River and Through the Woods. Now, I'm going to guess that most of you know this song. And since I've gone to great lengths to project it on the wall, there it is, okay, thank you very much. And since we've got music all set for Mary to play, I'm going to ask you to sing a little verse with me. And because I know you've watched enough Charlie Brown to really be able to sing out, I want you to do that, okay? So, Mary, would you hit it and let's sing together.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through wide and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go.
Y'all did so good, I'm tempted to do it, but no, I won't. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I've never taken a sleigh over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house or to any place else, for that matter. I have, however, taken quite a few holiday trips over the highway and across state lines to get to grandma's house or a cousin's house, and I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of you have done the same. After all, that's the kind of thing you do when you are trying to go home for the holidays. But where is home for you? Where do you go, and maybe even more important, what are you looking for when you want to go home. I don't know about you, but I find that going home for the holidays isn't as easy as I'd like it to be. This year, Christmas happens to fall on a Sunday, which means that Teresa and Wyndham and I will be at home here in Mount Airy this Christmas, and hopefully we'll get a chance to see many of you when we get together for worship here in our church home on Christmas morning. However, Mount Airy isn't the only place that we call home, and so in the days after Christmas, we'll be traveling to Durham so that we can spend a little time with Teresa's family in their home, and then we'll be going on to Roanoke so that we can spend a little time with my family in my mother's home. And so at the very least, going home for the holidays often involves some travel, but depending on your circumstances and your life history, going home for the holidays can also be a bit more complicated than that. As I think I've mentioned on a couple of occasions before, my parents divorced back when I was in college, and as a result, many of the Christmas seasons of my young adulthood were spent shuttling back and forth between two different homes and juggling all of the emotions that sometimes get caught up in that. And then when my father died back in 1999, going home for the holidays meant dealing with the reality of his absence. And even now, my mother's home is a place that I never lived. And so even when I'm home with her, it's a little hard to feel at home in a place that was never really mine to begin with. And I say all that just to point out that going home for the holidays can be a bit of a mixed bag. On the one hand, there's all the joy that comes from being with family and friends. Going home for the holidays can give us the warmth of fond memories and can wrap us up in the comfort of familiar sights and sounds and smells. But on the other hand, going home can present some challenges too. Families are sometimes just about as likely to get on each other's nerves as they are to get along over the holidays, especially when there are lots of people in close quarters. Sometimes the memories that we have of home include things that we would just as soon forget, and then when loss enters the picture, when going home means missing someone who's played a big part in our lives, well, in those occasions, the ache of absence can sometimes overtake the joy of celebration. But if there's a little good news to be found in our scripture lesson today, it just might be that we're not the only ones who've experienced that kind of ambivalence. If you look closely at Luke's story of that first Christmas, you can't help but wonder if going home for the holidays was a bit of a mixed bag for Mary and Joseph, too. After all, they were headed for Bethlehem, which was Joseph's hometown, and that meant that all of the relatives and the childhood friends were probably going to be there, and even Mary had a cousin, Elizabeth, who lived just down the road. But then again, there's not much doubt that Bethlehem was going to be packed with all kinds of visitors, and there was that matter of standing in line for a Roman census that they all had to deal with. And to top it all off, Mary was great with child, as the King James tells us, and the distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem was about 90 miles, which isn't bad if you're zipping along on an interstate highway, but is a trip of a very different kind if you're pregnant and riding a donkey. So, going home for the holidays, what is it that we're looking for and hoping for? What is it about that journey home that can inspire both delightful anticipation and sometimes almost paralyzing dread? Well, to answer those questions, it might be helpful to think about some of our different definitions of home. Because after all, home is one of those words, like love or peace, that sometimes has multiple levels of meaning. And so maybe we can understand better some of the deep feelings that home brings up if we clarify what it is that we're talking about. For example, one way to think about home is a place, as our property or our dwelling. It's what I'm talking about when I say that my home is on Fairview Avenue here in Mount Airy, or that the Panthers have a home game this weekend, which for better or worse, they don't. I believe they're losing out in Seattle this weekend. but something else. I'm sorry, that was mean. For most of us, home, at its most basic level, is the place that we live. But almost immediately, I think, we start to recognize that there's a lot more to it than that. In the Gospel of Luke, for example, Joseph was returning home to Bethlehem, but he obviously didn't have a home there. Because if he did, then he wouldn't have been looking for a place to stay, and the Bible wouldn't tell us that they laid Jesus in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So another way of thinking about home has to do with our roots. Home is the place where something got its start or the environment in which it flourished. And so, for example, Mount Airy is the home of Andy Griffith, and New Orleans is the home of jazz, and we know people who came from good Christian homes. When somebody asks you, "Where's home?" I guess that's probably what they want to know. They're asking, "Where are your roots? What are the things that have shaped and influenced you?" And to tell you the truth, in a funny way, I've always had a hard time knowing what to say when somebody asks me, "Where's home?" Because it just so happens that the places and the influences that have shaped me seem a little more mixed up than any one home can really deal with. I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, and so I suppose it's fair to say that that's where home is, or where my roots are. But the truth is that my family moved away from Atlanta when I was only four, and from there we moved to Arizona, and then Illinois, and then Virginia, and all of that was before I graduated from high school. Since then, education and different jobs in ministry have taken me to Kentucky and Georgia and Indiana and Texas, and finally here to North Carolina. Although, at this point in my life, I've lived longer in Fairfax, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., than I have anywhere else. And to tell you the truth, I'd kind of hate to think of myself as having any roots there. So even though home has to do with where we were raised and what shaped us, that's clearly not the only way that we think about it, and not even the most important. So in addition to thinking about home as a place and home as a sense of roots, we can also talk about home as a feeling. Home has to do with that sense of belonging. It's the place and the people with whom we find security and comfort. When Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz says, "There's no place like home," and when we say things like, "Home is where the heart is," that, I suspect, is what we're talking about. But once again, just because we say that home is a feeling doesn't mean that all of those feelings are good ones. As I've already said, some of our feelings about home can be painful or challenging. And so there's at least one more important way that I think we need to think about home, and that's this. In a certain sense, home is a goal toward which we're headed or a longing that we yearn to have fulfilled. One of my favorite verses in the Bible comes from Hebrews chapter 11, which says, "By faith Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, because he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." Abraham realized, I think, that even though he had a home in the promised land, he'd never be at home there, because he was looking forward to something better, something that ultimately only God could provide. And I can't help but wonder if something like that is what Mary and Joseph were looking for when they were making their way home to Bethlehem all those years ago. Yes, they were going home to a place where they had roots and that inspired all kinds of feelings of various kinds. But they were also going forward to something more. They were longing for the fulfillment of a promise, the birth of a son who'd be Emmanuel, God with us. And here's the question that I feel like that invites us to ask. Is there anybody else here this morning who feels that sense of longing for God to fulfill his promise and to be with you? Do you long for God to be with you this Christmas. I've mentioned in some recent sermons that for me at least, and honestly I don't think I'm the only one, the last few months have been kind of uniquely challenging. We've had to deal with all the stress and the bitterness that was part of our recent election, and there have been all kinds of reports about violence and tragedy, both at home and abroad. And then right here at Calvary, we've been confronted by the loss of some people that have been very dear to us, and by some hurts and weaknesses and disappointments that honestly give us little choice but to endure. And I hope you understand that I haven't been harping on all of that just to be a downer. No, I've brought it up because I am more and more convinced that the only way, it's only when we acknowledge those challenges and the sense of longing that often comes with them, that we are genuinely able to open ourselves up to God that makes us ready to receive His presence. Some of you know from social media that I've been reading a book recently about prayer. And at one point, the author said this: "Sometimes we just hurt, and we can't find the words to express our pain. We can't explain it, heal it, overcome it, solve it, or blunt it. So we just sit and groan in a Godward direction." I kind of like that way of thinking about prayer. Our groans in a Godward direction. And the good news of Christmas, of course, is that God hears those groans. And not only does He hear, but He answers. He gives us the promise of His presence, like the Gospel of John tells us, the Word becomes flesh and blood and moves into the neighborhood. And one of the great gifts that this season gives is the opportunity for us to take that journey to Bethlehem so that we can find our home in Jesus and so that He can find His home in us. So what if that legendary journey over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house isn't just about a road trip, but instead is a spiritual pilgrimage? What if when we go home for the holidays, what we're really traveling toward isn't just a place or a feeling or even a chance to reconnect with our roots? What if we're longing for the fulfillment of a promise? The promise that God so loved the world, and that in addition, God so loved us that He gave His one and only Son so that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Well, if there's any truth in that thought, then the question for us becomes, where or to what or to whom do you need to go this year in order to go home for the holidays? And that's the question that we're going to be thinking about this month, and it's my prayer that you'll meditate on it a little bit over the next few weeks. And by any luck, by the time we get to Christmas morning, we'll have a little bit better idea what it means for us to find our home in Christ. But as we close on this morning, I would like to share just a couple of things that I think we're going to need to have with us in order to make that journey home for the holidays. And for starters, I'm pretty sure that we're going to need companions. As we heard in our scripture lesson this morning, Joseph went with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. And I think it's safe to say that most meaningful journeys are a whole lot easier and most of the time a lot more fun when we have other people with us. And thankfully, of course, the Christmas season usually gives us a lot of chances to spend time with other people. In the weeks ahead, I'd bet that a lot of us will get together with family and with coworkers. And of course, I hope that you'll make time for your church companions as well. There are lots of ways that you can do that, of course. You can come out to our choir cantata and Hanging of the Green service that takes place here at church tonight, or you can join us on December 18th for our children's Christmas pageant. And then, of course, there's morning worship and Sunday morning Bible study that I would love for you to participate in. But the bottom line is this: If you're a follower of Jesus, then you're part of his family. And if you want to go home for the holidays, then really you need to have your brothers and sisters with you. Along with companions, the other thing that you're going to need to go home for the holidays is Christ. The Bible says that Joseph went with Mary, who was expecting a child. Jesus might not have been born yet, but as any expectant parent can probably tell you, he was already a part of the family. He was already with them. And it turns out that you and I need Jesus to be with us too. The only way that we can find our way home, the only way that we can truly bow in worship at his cradle, is to be called by his message and to be led by his light, which might seem a little counterintuitive if you stop and think about it, because what that means is that we need to have Jesus in order to find Jesus. But really, in a funny way, I think that's what Advent is all about. Even as we're waiting for and getting ready for his arrival, he's already here. And his invitation is for us to pay attention to his presence so that he can lead us home. So what's one thing that you could do in the weeks ahead to give him that attention? What could you do? One thing. To create a little space in your heart for Jesus to be at home in you this Christmas season. And would you consider offering him that thing this morning?